And welcome to the Super Fun Awesome Happy Time Better Show podcast.
Da-da-da-da.
With your hosts.
No. We're the only ones here, man.
We're the only ones here. So how are you guys doing out there in podcast world?
Hey.
And how are you doing, Alex?
I'm pretty good. We've just been doing a demo today.
Yeah.
And we stopped for lunch, so you've caught us right in the middle of burritos.
Burritos. We've now, this is, has kind of become, and this is, I'm blaming, personally blaming the guys from 60 Soccer Hum, because they did a couple of podcasts, not podcasts, Periscope episodes back in the days, where they were sitting around eating burritos after they were finished doing their
thing,
the episode.
Yep.
And there aren't, it's probably not that big of a thing here in Australia, burritos.
No,
it's,
not really.
Like, but not far from where Alex lives now, where, you know, he moved studios and moved house and studios and yada, yada, yada. But there's a Mexican place not far from here. So this has almost become a tradition now, thanks to the guys from 60 Cyber Hum, that we're eating burritos now when we shoot demos. So there you go. That's a little bit of an insight here to the world of the Super Fun Awesome Happy Time Better Show.
Yeah, bet you're glad you tuned in for that.
Mm-hmm.
So much foil. So, yeah, we've been doing a Eventide podcast today. Demo.
Mm-hmm.
On the H9 Sculpt. That's what it's called.
The Sculpt, yeah, Sculpt. Which is a new algorithm that came out. I think at SummerNAMM they released it.
Mm.
I've been using an H9 for a little while now, and I think it's great. We haven't done a demo on it because it was always kind of a bit daunting because there's so much in it.
Yeah.
But I think we're going to now do like an algorithm at a time kind of thing. Just do a couple of demos with an algorithm at a time.
Yeah. Just do it in stages. Just because there's so much going on, obviously. And then each algorithm has presets and a hot switch thing which you can do like a whole different channel on the same sound.
Mm-hmm.
Blah blah blah, expression pedal stuff.
Okay. And
lots going on.
People complain that we talk too much in demos already. Anyway, just today got that on YouTube. Thanks to whoever it was, saying to stop talking and start demoing with a few
cuss words,
with a few lovely words in between. But you know. There's always lots of talking because there's lots to go through. So basically, anyway, this podcast now, I've been sort of talking about it for a long time, since probably late last year, and it's almost end of July now. But I think we're going to actually start doing it now. We've done a couple of interviews with a few people that are going to come up in episodes. I think this is probably the one I'm going to post first.
Yeah, I was just thinking that too.
Just, you know, just to...
If you're hearing this first, then this is the first one.
This is the first one, yes.
If you're not, it's not.
So, the idea with this podcast, basically, is we're going to do, possibly once a month, possibly fortnightly. Depends. Whenever we can kind of have time to get together and record some demos. We're going to sit and just kind of talk about the stuff we've demoed, maybe talk about what we've been up to certain degrees. I mean, we're both working musos, so what we've been up to, any new gear. What we're sort of trying to do is we're trying to talk to people that are kind of interesting, that work in the industry, not necessarily as guitar players, but that kind of work in industry, studio work, musos, just anyone generally who works in the music industry. And just talk to them and see, you know, what kind of gear do they use, what kind of stuff do they do, and what excites them about gear. So hopefully this is going to become a more regular thing. Both of us are quite busy with our things, you know, what we do.
And family
and stuff like that. So we're trying to be regular with this, but we can't promise anything. So,
totally. All right. We have done a couple of podcasts which we'll have to edit up.
Mm-hmm.
But one is with a good friend, mutual friend Sparky, who runs a recording studio locally. And we talked to him about different ways of recording guitars. It's all guitar-based.
Not just a recording studio. It's a recording studio he builds in a container.
Yes, yeah, true.
And he does it. He has a makes a business out of it that he builds container studios.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, quite interesting. Sorry to interrupt.
No, you're right. But it's all like guitar based. So we talked to him about things like approaching mic and guitar amps in recording situations and how he goes about that kind of thing. Different techniques like that, mixing things and all that kind of jazz.
All that kind of jazz, yeah. Cool. So let's start off. So it's the end of July. What kind of stuff? What demos did we do this month? What stuff that we've done recently? What song that sort of sticks out the most for you?
We did a bunch for the Mojo Stompboxes
group,
which is Tim sent us some stuff. Which is basically a whole bunch of kind of 80s Japanese.
Or Taiwanese.
Or Taiwanese.
As I found out later on.
Yeah. Basically, things like Boss stuff and Maxon things.
There's some 70s and 80s Japanese, 70s, 80s, 90s, I guess, Japanese quirky stuff. So out of those pedals, which one do you reckon sticks out the most for you?
Probably the delay. I thought so. Multi-mode.
So, yeah. Multi-mode delay, yeah.
Which is kind of doing like almost like the Chase Bliss thing, but 25 years ago.
25 years, yeah. Or whenever it came out.
Yeah.
That one was pretty good. But a whole bunch of fuzzers there. They were all kind of interesting in their own way.
Yeah.
What was the other one? The phaser? The face tone? That was interesting. But that was, you know, one knob phaser.
Kind of a classic for a reason. One trick pony, but it's a cool trick.
What else was there? So there was the Magnum Fuzz, which is very rare apparently. There was the face tone. There was the Super Metal. Oh, the Super Metal with the Maruchito postcode chips.
Oh yeah,
the 4558 chips in it. That was quite good. They're all great sounding. I thought they were. And then we did a whole bunch. We've been doing a whole bunch of demos for a music shop here called Mooloolaba Music Centre.
Yeah,
we started doing some demos for them. So we did. What did we do for them? We did the new reverb, the MXR reverb.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
That was pretty cool.
It's kind of got some big competition. It's in price point of things like Strymon and the Empress one. Not quite that expensive, but
No, it's not cheap. I mean, it's different in America, but in Australia, it's not cheap. It's definitely not on the cheap side.
No. So it's got some pretty stiff competition, but it did sound really nice. But that's kind of.
I have to say, I haven't played one up until very recently, but it really impressed me. On a completely different note, not completely different, still reverb, but the Digitech Supernatural.
Oh, right, yeah, cool.
Is it Supernatural? Yeah, it's Supernatural, isn't it? Yeah. That really impressed me. That was really good. That was just one of those ones where I just kind of played with it and then kind of lost track of time and got kicked out of the shop. This is a shop here in Noosa in Australia. I teach guitar there. And in between students or after students, I plugged it in and played it and then didn't quite realise I was sitting there for almost an hour and the guy wanted to leave. And
shut up the shop.
Shut up the shop, so...
Yeah, cool.
That was really impressive.
I'll have to check it out myself. Cause
really impressive.
Not a lot of people rave about that.
No. Well, it had sort of its heyday a couple of years ago. Lots of people were talking about it, and then all of a sudden it kind of disappeared, and the Strymon stuff came out, and which everyone, you know, sort of raves about.
Yeah.
And slowly, more and more of that stuff is seen on eBay, and more people sell it, including me, actually. I've been selling off a lot of my Strymon stuff.
Because you had... quite a few of them. Yeah.
I had quite a few of them for a while.
Including the big ones, which is the Mobius and the Timeline things.
Mm-hmm.
You haven't had the Big Sky?
No.
Okay.
I always wanted one, but never got that. The Big Sky came out after the Australian dollar fell really badly compared to the US dollar, and things got very expensive here. Both Timeline and Mobius, I kind of got rid of them both. I guess you go through phases with stuff. I mean, they're great pedals.
Yeah, for sure.
But I do actually, I used to have the timeline and the Mobius on my board, but the sort of the H9 kind of took over from both of them. It's a smaller footprint pedal that kind of does both. And then the Chase Bliss Tonal Recoil came along, which kind of takes care of the delay settings. And now with the whole MIDI, with that Empress box, with the MIDI thing, you can, you know, have lots of presets and stuff too. So
yeah, cool.
It sort of took over for it for me. So
I've only got a couple of, I think it's just the two Strymons, which is the Brigadier and the Decca.
Oh yeah. They're both great though. Both really good.
Both really cool. The Brigadier is pretty, really, really nice as an analog delay. As an analog delay, it's probably a little bit expensive just to do analog delay.
Mm.
But it's so nice.
In a Decca, it's sort of a slightly, I don't think people quite get it, but I think it's a really cool pedal.
Yeah, it's cool. I think I'm going to keep the Decca spare and leave it in my studio setup so I can run things like vocals through it. Maybe even like, I don't know, room sounds for drum kits or something. And
oh, yeah.
Other guitar sounds. Just as like a multi-purpose tape delay type effect.
It's a cool pedal. Great. You see it so many times, people going, oh, but, you know, what does it do? What's the point of it?
And,
but I think it's great. I think it's definitely unique compared to all the other. I mean, it's tape saturation, which is different to distortion or overdrive.
Yeah.
And even the delays and stuff in it are kind of different to all the other delays, so.
Because there's limited repeats because of how the tape heads are set up. So it's not like you can get crazy long dub reggae oscillations.
Da, 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 da.
Yeah.
No.
So it's definitely the same thing, especially when you run the both sides of the drive section and the repeat section, the tape delay section. And I've only done it once, but I ran vocals through it, and it's cool as hell. You kind of drive it up until you hear the distortion and then back it off slightly. So it has this fatness, but it is distorting, but not over the top distorting. Yeah.
Cool.
So that's why I'm going to, and that's the kind of thing I'm looking for at the moment, because I'm setting up this new studio. I want things to sound unique and kind of special, so each project I'm recording, I can make it sound like nothing else.
Yeah, exactly right. And that's the way. You don't want to sound like someone else. You want to.
Yeah. You can always get inspired and take tip the hat to different people or recording techniques or songs or guitarists or whatever. You still want to sound like yourself.
Exactly right. Yeah. Exactly right. Okay, so to get back onto July.
Well, we did the octave thing, octave off.
Oh yes. Sorry, we're just I'm still munching away my lunch and drinking and stuff.
Choking on lemonade.
Choking on some Schweppes lemonade. Yes, the pog and sub and pog. Sub and up and poggin. I don't know. lots of people like that. Lots of comments, lots of good comments, some not so good comments, but mostly good comments. Lots of views. That's sort of very quickly seen a lot of views. I think we might try, because that's something, the Sub and Up was kindly enough lent to us by Mooloolaba Music Centre, where we kind of do some demos with them as well. And we've done a demo on just a Sub and Up with them. And then we kind of did a comparison with the Pog.
Mm.
And lots of people have been wanting the pitchfork in there too, or commenting about saying, oh, I'll stick with the pitchfork, or, you know, I want the pitch, you know, what about the pitchfork? So we might see if we can borrow that pedal again and do a three-way.
Ooh.
A menage a trois.
menage a Pog.
And menage a octave. and see, I mean, to me, the pitchfork is a slightly different kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I guess it's a similar sort of stuff.
You could go one further and put a whammy in there and all sorts of things.
The whammy, or then again also the H9, there's all the harmonizer algorithms that are on it. We might see if we can do a Pog, Sub and Up, Pitchfork, three-way action.
Mm.
So stay tuned for that.
Look out.
What's another one? On the Mooloolaba music videos, the Trio Plus. That's kind of taken off.
Digitech
the Trio Plus. Yeah. That's over 9,000 views now in a couple of weeks. So that's been... Lots of people have been watching that. Interesting one. So what are your thoughts on the Trio Plus, Alex?
Ooh, well, it's just something I wouldn't use. So I'm not really that interested in learning more about it.
It's funny, does someone put a comment on YouTube? And I mean, I checked the YouTube comments on the Mooloolaba Music Centre YouTube page too. And someone wrote, that's quite a lot of money for something that's really just a band in a box with a looper.
Mm.
And on the actual YouTube channel, I can't really agree, but I do agree. You've got to be a little bit diplomatic there, but...
Unofficially.
Unofficially. No, I mean, it is... It's not... Yeah, I don't see it really myself.
Yeah.
I mean, I see it more than the old Trio. Having a looper in there, I can see that a bit more. Without the looper, I really don't see the point. But, I mean, maybe it's a songwriting tool. But then... There's so much good, even if you just have GarageBand or something, there's so many good
software
loops,
versions of
that you can just use in there.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's just me, yeah. But it's tons of people watch it, lots of good feedback on the demo. Yeah. So
the sounds themselves are pretty good in the pedal, considering it is the size of a pedal too.
And it's a very, very keen bass player in that pedal too.
Yeah.
There's some pretty serious bass lines coming. Very, very busy bass lines.
Play lead bass. But, yeah, like, just one of those things. It's cool, does its thing, does what it promises, but I just wouldn't have a use for it. So
yeah, neither would
I. Don't really.
No. The Fender Bass Breaker amps. That's another thing we did this month.
We did those for the Mooloolaba Music Shop as well. Mooloolaba
Music Centre as well.
It's got some power, that 3018 one.
Well, the okay, let's start with the one I really like. The 15 watts. I think that's probably one of the better amps Fender's released, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Just from the versatility. It really is. It's a super clean or kind of slightly driven, like, you know, crank sounds, or quite heavy gains. I think it's great. And you have master volume.
And wait for it. The Fender distortion is pretty good.
It sounds great. It sounds really good. It's a really, really good distortion sound. And
built really well, the solid things.
I thought, I was really, really impressed how good it sounded.
Mm.
And how good it sounded at home. Really quiet with the master volume right down, you know, with little kids and stuff at my place. Can't be too loud. And it sounded great.
Yeah.
And then here, crank a little bit more cranked. I thought it sounded really, really good as well. Not a humongous fan of the direct out, the speaker emulation out.
No.
I was kind of hoping that would sound a little bit better, but it didn't. But other than that, I thought, what a great amp. Really, really good sounding amp.
Because it drives like really quite nice, you can have it on the edge of breakup, have a boost and maybe another overdrive in your board.
Hmm.
You could slice your board in half and get rid of all your boosty, drivey things.
No, that's well, silly.
Not you, but
normal people.
Hypothetically, if you want, like, you know, like little clubbing, wedding gigs type thing, take that and a board that has five, six pedals.
And I think that from
five, six pedals is a small board.
That's fair for me. That's my acoustic board.
Yeah.
The clean is different too, and I think it's because of the, and Alex is just choking with some Solo. We're wild musos sitting here with lemonade and Solo.
Yeah.
Eating burritos. That's what happens, kids. You know, when you become musos.
Bones in that soft drink.
What was I saying? Oh, and I guess the different tubes, because that's what. 34s. EL34s.
84s. Yeah. 34s, I think. Englishy things.
Different kind of frequency clean, which I thought was quite nice.
Yeah.
Sounded really good. So, big thumbs up on the Bass Breaker 15.
Yep, for sure.
Then the 1830.
Yes.
That was an interesting one.
Oh, yeah.
It's one of those amps I don't quite get it.
Yeah.
Well, you've got... Okay, so if you don't know the 1830, it's a two-channel amp with two completely separate preamps. One is a 30-watt channel clean side, which is based on the Fender Deluxe.
Yeah.
With no reverb, though.
Yeah.
Even though it's based on the Fender Deluxe.
Deluxe reverb.
With no reverb. Which sounds just like any other Fender. Like, yeah. Nice Fender clean.
It was very nice.
And then you have the 18-watt side, which is more that Marshall style. Which it says it's based on the... What was it? Tweed Deluxe or something like that? Something like that.
Bass mini type B... Early Fender thing.
Early Fender thing.
Which is pretty much a Marshall anyway.
Pretty much. That's a Blues Breaker kind of vibe. Yeah. Yeah.
Whatever it was.
Which only has a volume and a tone control. Nothing else. And it's 18 watts, but man, it's freaking loud. Oh, yeah. And there's the suggested settings that come on the amp, right? That little cardboard thing that sits on the amp with its suggested settings. And we tried one of them out. What did it say? Like dirty... Down and Dirty or something like that, or it was called something like that.
Yeah.
And it literally, the walls were shaking. It was so loud. It's ridiculous. And because there's no master volume and just a single tone control.
Yeah.
It's a weird one. Don't quite.
And it's 212, so it's got some punch.
Get it. Like, it had a lot of punch.
Like, when I say punch, it's more like slap you in the face with a chair. So.
I mean, like, the old slap you in the face with a chair punch.
You really need that grunt outside on a big open stage.
But even on a big open stage, the sound guys would strangle you if you turn anything up remotely that loud. On its
back and shoot up to the roof or something.
It's ridiculously loud. So that's the two we tried anyway. The others, I think there's two more. There's the 007, which is a little one, which is just, I think, is it single channel?
I'm not sure. I'd like to check that out, though.
And then there's the bigger one, the 45, is it? I think there's a 45, which is basically just a, straightforward Fender style as well.
Mm-hmm.
But the 15 was great. I'd like to try that in the head, actually, just the head, because we had the combo here, which I thought sounded great.
Mm.
But I think having a head and being able to put it either on, a single 12 or... 410s or 210s or 412s or whatever you want to put it on, it'll quite drastically change the sound.
Yeah.
So it'd be interesting to hear it. I'd be kind of keen to try that out.
Mm. Very cool.
What else did we do in July, Alex? Other than eat burritos.
Sure.
Should we talk a bit about ourselves too, or should we just talk about the pedal show related stuff?
I guess we could.
Well, we're going to talk a little bit about ourselves, and if you don't like it, let us know, and we won't. But if you do, let us know, and we will in future too. So basically, we both work in musos. Alex also runs a sound production company.
Yeah.
So what have you been up to with your sound production company lately, Alex?
Well, I've just done the last 10 days of a festival called Noosa Long Weekend Festival. It's basically kind of like... lots of theatre stuff and cabaret shows and jazz bands and all that kind of wanky stuff.
And it's called a long weekend and it goes for 10 days.
Yeah, yeah.
So very long weekend.
Work that out. So that's kind of been full on every night, plus a whole bunch of matinee shows and breakfast, book launch type things and literary events. And
all the la-di-da sort of stuff.
Some stuff like that. I wasn't paying attention. So, yeah. So I've kind of just come off the back of that, and I'm just trying to catch up sleep. But most of the kind of production I do is live sound, live music for bands and things like that.
Cool. Sounds good. Well, I've been basically doing the same crap I do every week. I work. If you sort of in on the Sunshine Coast, if you come to the Sunshine Coast here in Queensland. There's a good chance, regardless of where you are, I'll be playing there at some stage. I do a lot of solo gigs. I do work in bands and duos and trios and all that sort of stuff as well, but the majority of the stuff, unfortunately, due to sound restrictions and
budgets
and so forth,
things like that,
solo acoustic shows that I do. I had my own weekend. I play at this place up in Montville, which is it's sort of up on the range here. It's called Sunshine Coast Hinterland. Really nice place, the Montville Cafe Bar and Grill. And I did a weekend there, a whole weekend there. I did Friday, Saturday, and Sunday there.
Nice.
So 3 days in a row. So the staff are well and truly sick of me by now. But
Did you change your songs each night or each day?
Well, it's Friday night and Saturday and Sunday, it's daytime. I try to a little bit. Day one and day two, I try to kind of play two things, two different things, because it's the same staff usually. It's kind of like a family run, but it's a really great place, actually, if you ever get the chance to come to the Sunshine Coast. It's a really nice place to go to. It's beautiful up there, Montville, anyway, all the views and all that sort of stuff. The
views are pretty spectacular.
And there's some, national parks and waterfalls and yada yada up that way. But, it's the same sort of staff. It's a small run business, but it's great. Great people. And I always feel bad for staff at places where I work quite regularly because they hear the same crap over and over and over again. But they didn't seem to mind. And I did try to change it up from night one to night two to day two. But then day three, I can't be bothered. And I just did
all the hits.
Did whatever I usually do.
Let's talk about your acoustic board, because you've got a whole separate pedal board, which is a Pedal Train Junior.
It's a Pedal Train Junior for my acoustic, yeah.
Yeah, cool.
And then the Pedal Train 3 at the moment for the electric board.
Yeah, cool.
Well, I used it's pretty straightforward. I've got a Boss tuner on there at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And the only reason why I use a Boss tuner, I quite like the TC Electronic Polytune. But I do think the Boss tuner tracks better on acoustic. For whatever reason,
okay.
I like it better on acoustic. So I've got Boss TU2.
Yep.
I've got... Classic. Sorry?
Classic.
Classic, mate. Classic. Yeah, not the Wozzercraft.
No.
So I don't know if I'm...
Whatever that is.
If it's as good as the Wozzercraft tuner, but...
it's not black and half the size.
It's not... The Wozzercraft is the same size.
Oh, there's another one. It's a half one.
Oh yeah, that little one without the button. Yeah. But you get the Wozzercraft one, which is it's kind of like a grey colour, and the lights are blue, and it's the same as a normal one, but it costs twice as much, and apparently has a different buffer.
Oh, nah.
That's I think the main difference. But anyway, and it's black or not grey, sort of grey colour. So mine's the white, boring or TU2. An MXR. Okay, so we're going in line now, right?
Sure.
Like in
signal.
In signal path.
Yep.
So we go from the tuner to an MXR microamp, which I use as a clean boost.
How clean is that? Is that really clean?
Very clean.
Okay, cool.
Super duper clean.
Yeah.
That's
what you want, really.
Yeah. And it's got the MXR stuff, got that. You put that kind of rubbery thing over the knob, and then you can use your foot too. So use it as a boost for when I do finger style playing, and for lead.
You could.
And then from that, it goes into and this is a lot of people are going to go, oh, you're degrading your signal, your tone. I'm going into a line six, shock horror. Line 6, Echo Park.
Yeah,
cool. I think it's a great delay.
You know who else likes those?
Who?
Tim Pierce.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I watched the video of him and he said...
it's glasses. Maybe when you wear glasses, you like these things better.
The question was put to him, if you had only $500 to build a whole pedal board, what would you buy? And he said that delay.
It's great.
Yeah.
I think it's really, really good. We haven't done that. We should do a demo of it.
Yeah,
it's just... It's always on my board, and I don't like taking stuff off my board. But I think we're going to do actual run-throughs off our rigs anyway soon. That's sort of going in conjunction with the podcast. Because the podcast, I think, just to, for something insert here kind of now, I think we're going to do... The podcast is going to kind of work kind of together with the video side at times.
Yeah.
Because like the people that we've interviewed in the past already, we've done some videos with them too, like just to show, like we went to Nick from Midnight Amplification Devices, a pedal builder who lives locally that I've known.
Yeah.
He was in school still when I met him. We went to his workshop and like filmed the workshop and all that sort of stuff. So I think ultimately or soon we're going to do a podcast where we talk about our rigs more and maybe do a video section of it as well. But so this is just sort of a quick run through. But yeah, so the Echo Park, I think it's great. I think it's a really good delay. Cool. I love the Sweep Echo.
Sweep Echo. Okay.
Which is the, it's kind of like the repeats almost run through like a like an envelope filter type thing.
Ah.
Like it has like a
it sweeps through the filter.
Sweeps through it. Like but only the repeats.
Okay, cool.
You've got if you want I'm one of those people that I don't usually like or I don't use tap on delays much. I just sort of set it to a setting and that's it. But you do have tap on it as well.
Okay, cool.
Because it's a two function switch, so if you push it in all the way it's on and off, and if you just tap it it's a tap switch.
Ah, cool.
The sweep delay, which is great, and then there's a couple of other delays on there that, you know, if I want... Basically, I've got that as my, I call it my quirky delay.
Right.
Because then after that comes a Strymon El Capistan, which is my more straightforward delay, and kind of a little bit washy, because I like it has reverb on it too.
Yeah, cool.
Which is what I like about it, and it's sort of like a more like a washy delay, but that's the one I use more often.
Right.
The Line 6 is more the quirky stuff. And there's a few other settings. All the... Well, it's got one switch in the middle where you switch between different types of delay.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got all your settings, like your delay time, your
feedback,
and the tone of it as well, whether it's darker or lighter, and one's a modulation.
Yeah, cool.
And there's a couple of other delays which in the same all in the same settings work really well. So I don't have to change the anything else. It's just a one knob in the middle. And so I like using the sweep delay a lot. That's sort of the one I use the most on that. But then there's another setting, I can't even think what it's called at the moment, but the way if I leave everything at the same settings as the sweep delay, just switch it over to that, it almost goes into like self-oscillation.
Ah, right.
And I really, it's really cool. It's one of those ones where you just play something and like one note or something, and it just starts taking off. And
yeah, right.
I
cool.
really quite like it.
Do you have a compressor on there?
No.
Yeah.
Because 9 out of 10 times I use my PA.
Yep. Okay.
And I've got some compression
on your
on
your
my
desk.
Actual PA on the desk, which I really like. Which is a QC.
Yeah.
Touch Mix, is that what it's called? Touch Mix, I think that's what. Touch Live, Touch Mix, one of those.
Touch Me.
Touch Me while I'm mixing. It's a great desk, and you've got lots of effects on it, and I really like the compressor on it. It sounds really
good.
Nice. I used to, back in the days of Yonder, used to have the Strymon OB1 Kenobi. on there, which is the compressor and boost.
Yeah, cool.
And I used to use the compressor side for fingerstyle.
Ah,
so
nice.
Turn it more on when I do more fingerstyle just to make it a bit louder.
Yep.
And the boost for boost. But I don't know, I'm not a big compressor guy on acoustic, so I have it very mild on my acoustic.
Yeah, cool.
But on the desk.
Yeah, sure.
On the mixer.
Yeah, because I'm about to... So I've been taking just random pedals to acoustic gigs. So I do quite a few weddings with another mutual friend of ours. And it's generally always 2 acoustic guitars and 2 vocals.
That's mm-hmm.
set up. So, yeah, I've just been taking different pedals just to play with.
Just to muck around with, yeah.
Yeah, you know, doing the sets, so I just, play some delay.
I'm very boring in that respect. My acoustic board hasn't changed in a long time.
Well, I've kind of been taking different ones to see what I like. So.
Oh, okay. I think I've gotten to a point. I've gotten to a point where I like what I got.
Yeah.
Oh, and I should just finish it off. So El Capistan, and then after that, it goes into which a lot of people kind of go as well. But an Akai Headrush looper.
Yeah, nice. Okay.
A delay looper. I don't use the delay side of it, but I really like the looper.
Cool.
I've tried just about every other major brand looper that everyone else says is much better.
Brand new TC one.
Yeah, I was almost kind of keen on getting the TC, the X4.
Yeah, yeah.
Or times four, whatever
Ditto you call it. Ditto times four.
Ditto times four. Something. No, but I tell you exactly why I don't like them. And why I like the Akai Head Rush.
Yeah.
Okay, so the Akai Head Rush only has about 38 seconds or 36 seconds or something of looping time.
Okay.
Which a lot of people go, oh, that's not enough, that's not enough. I have never, ever, 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 ever come across a song where a verse or a chorus was longer than that.
Yeah, sure.
I've never run out of loop time, ever. So, because you've got to think, half the time when you loop something, it's a verse or a chorus of a song,
yeah,
which is usually like three chords maximum, you know, most songs. This is talking covers here, you know, when you're doing covers. We like cover guys, we play other people's music,
yeah,
and people pay us to do that.
That's a difference.
That's a difference. It only has that short amount of time, and if you over, if you're doing like a second loop, like if you
layer
the loop, like, yeah, if you do the second layer on it, it reduces down to even less.
All right.
But I've never come into, and never played anything where I ran out of time. And the thing I really like about the Head Rush is you have one button, yep, that is record on,
mm-hmm,
and you have the other button, which is your start and stop.
Gotcha. Yep.
Right? So you want to record something, you push the button on the right, you hit that, the light goes red, you record, you hit the button on the left to play.
Yep.
You hit the button on the left again to stop.
Mm-hmm.
And while it's playing, if you hit the button on the right again, overdub. That's what I was looking for before.
Oh, yeah.
Overdub. You overdub the second layer. Right? So you press that, right? So one button is record and overdub, or it's basically record.
Sure.
Yep. The other button is start and stop. Now, you finish the song that you're playing,
mm-hmm,
and you're starting the next song. All you're doing is, without the loop playing, when you hit record again, it just records over what's on the loop.
Right.
So let's say you record a song, right? You play a song, you finish the song.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to delete anything.
Okay.
You don't have to do anything. You just hit, while there's no loop playing, you just hit record again, and it just starts from fresh.
All right.
Whereas with all the other loopers, every single one of the other loopers, you loop something, you have to erase it or something. You have to do something. And I know I would always forget doing it. And mid-song, I'd hit record. And usually in all these loopers now, record is the same button as play.
Yeah.
So I'd hit record and another song would play. And I wish they would do a looper like the Ditto looper, with all the cool extra effects and functions on it, which I like the, yeah, it has that, it does backwards and it does, drops an octave, or up an octave, slows down, speeds up, and it does that tape stop thing, which I kind of think is cool.
Yeah.
But I wish it would have a separate button for record and a separate button for play.
Unless you could program the buttons to do anything you wanted.
Well, Boss, come on. You did it with the ESA. Bring out a new looper.
Oh, where, yeah,
you can program all everything. Well, maybe you can actually on the new DD500. Don't know. I haven't checked that out yet. Because you can pretty much program the... You can tell the buttons what to do there too, I think.
Right, okay.
But yeah, so that's the one reason I like the Head Rush. And it's... I've actually had people come up to me and compliment me on... And saying, oh, what looper do you use? Because... I use the, and sorry for naming names, I use like the Boss RC20.
Yeah.
And when I use it, I really notice that the loop, the qualities drops. It's not,
all right,
you know, the sampling rate or whatever.
Yep.
And it sounds, you know, you play something on the Akai, you record it, you press play, and it sounds exactly the same. So there's no difference.
Yeah, cool.
So I'm really happy with it. It's a really old pedal. It was one of the cheapest loopers out there. At the time, I used to work at a music shop, and yeah, I tried out all the loopers. At the time, there was a couple of different Boss ones, or a couple of different Digitech ones.
Yep, Jam Man things.
Yep. Then I always wanted to try the Boomerang, but it's a bit big. That's the other thing.
Yeah, it's pretty huge.
another friend of mutual friend of ours who probably should come on this at some stage, Carl Lynch.
Oh, yeah.
He used to have the boomerang, and it's huge.
Mm.
So that's... I was kind of a bit... And it was really expensive. And then there was that. That was... I'm talking early 2000s.
Sure.
Yep. They were the only loopers around. And I really liked that one. It was the cheapest. And
there you go.
Yeah, people keep going, why don't you get a Boss one? Oh, get a Digitech. Oh, get a Ditto. No. So there you go. And then from that, it goes into a radial...
Your DI.
DI. Yeah, cool. A green radial DI, whatever it is.
Passive one.
It's a passive one, yeah. Because I found with... Quite often when you go somewhere and play shows and you don't use your own PA, there's a good chance that you get a PA that can't send phantom power. So I just went for passive, and it actually sounds really good.
Yeah, it's fine. They're great.
So there you go. That's my acoustic pedal board.
Very nice.
And I'm using all Goodwood Audio leads. And I have to say, sorry, I keep talking, but this is a podcast, so I guess you're meant to talk. I used to use other, relatively good quality leads, high quality leads. I didn't really notice a difference. There was a noticeable difference when I changed to all Goodwood Audio leads.
Yeah, cool.
I used the patch leads. I mean, it's still, the lead that comes out of the DI and goes into the PA.
Sure.
Is not, it's just a mic lead, but it's a good quality mic lead. But,
yep.
But the lead that goes from my guitar to the board, and all the patch leads are all Goodwood Audio, and I did notice there was a difference in tone.
Nice.
So they're really, really good quality leads. Make sure to check them out, people. Goodwood Audio. And they're not paying me to say that, but make sure to check it out.
It should be.
And if you're in Australia, they're Australian made too.
Yeah, they are.
So
Sydney, I think.
Sydney based, even though I think they're Kiwis.
Oh, no.
That live in Sydney, but anyway, Australian based.
I thought Brisbane was the capital of New Zealand.
Isn't it? Like Crowded House, they're an Australian band, aren't they?
Yeah. They're from Wynnum.
What's Dolby. So that's it. That's nice. My acoustic thing.
Very cool. Yeah, I'm planning to build an acoustic board soon, so that's kind of... Because I've also been looking at the Electro-Harmonix loopers.
They've brought out a bunch of different ones lately.
Yeah.
There's a couple of them. There's tiny ones and big ones.
I was looking at the medium one.
Excuse me.
Medium one, it's got record and stop and start.
Is that 380 or something like that? Is that what it's called? Yeah. Some number?
360?
380?
I think that's it.
429?
I'd have to have a look at my...
765.
11T1.
11T70.
Yeah. I was kind of looking at that because...
Oh, yeah.
Why not? And it's kind of compact and...
And this stuff is usually good.
Yeah.
Electro-harmonic stuff.
And the amount of looping I do.
Jeez, yeah, man. You're one of those funny people that are not into looping.
I was for a while.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
If you're into looping, actually, there's a podcast that we've already recorded that's coming up with a good friend, Carl Wachner, who now lives in Nashville. So for you Yankee Doodles out there, he lives over in Nashville now. He just moved there with his family. Carl is quite exceptional at looping.
Mm. Yeah, he does vocal looping as well as all the guitar stuff, layering.
A sort of one-man band. And he does it really, really well. And we went over, before he left, we went over to his studio and... he did a sort of a run through it, so that'll be a podcast coming up very shortly with him. And if you live in America and you near Nashville and you get a chance to see Carl Wachner, make sure to go and see him and say the super fun awesome Happy Time pedal show guy sent you.
Damn straight.
Because Alex actually played in a band with Carl too.
I did, yeah.
Hmm.
I was playing bass in that band.
Yeah.
Up until he left the country.
And now someone else is playing bass.
In America.
Now his boss octave pedal is playing bass in his band.
Yeah, cool. Well, what else? Should we... what if we talk about things you're dreaming of? Like any piece of gear you're lusting for at the moment?
Where does it say how long you've recorded this? It's
long.
2 hours, 26 minutes.
I think it's 45 minutes because we started at 2.
Okay, cool. Just because we'll do like what everyone does. We'll go. We won't go much more than an hour.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So gear. You're looking at putting a pedalboard together. What gear are you lusting over?
Oh yeah, the acoustic one. That's kind of my next project. I think is acoustic board. Just because. Yeah, there's probably the most amount of guitar gigs I do at the moment.
Okay.
Is,
well, that's the thing around here. It's mostly acoustic, solo, duo, if you're lucky, trio.
Yeah. So I'm thinking, it changes every day, but at the moment I'm thinking.
Well, today, Tuesday.
At 2:45 in the afternoon. The TC Electronic hypergravity compressor.
Compressor.
Yeah, yeah. See it. So I actually sent a message on Facebook, and Stefan from TC Electronic.
Stefan or Stefan?
Well, I know he's from Sweden, so.
Oh, Stefan. Yeah, Stefan.
Yeah.
Is it Swedish? The Danish?
It's definitely Scandinavian.
Scandinavian, yeah. It's somewhere up north. Possibly Denmark.
Could be. Ah, they're all the same. So, mildly racist.
Northern European.
Yeah. He's sent a message back saying it's probably a good starting point for acoustic guitar.
Okay.
And so it's also got the tone print thing, so I can get in there and tweak all my compressor settings to suit acoustic guitar.
That's pretty cool, the tone print stuff. Yeah. And the sending it from your phone to the...
Yeah.
Can you do that on an acoustic?
I don't know.
If you hold it up to the bridge, to the piezo, or really piezo, really, if you look at the letters that you're speaking.
Nah, don't do that.
All these people call it piezo, but it's...
Well, I heard someone call it
piezo too. No, in America, they call it piezo.
Pizzo, like pizza with an O on the end.
But I think it's because there's an IE.
Oh, yeah.
And in a normal world, you pronounce... all the letters. Sorry, yeah. English speaking people, but it's my second language, so
yeah,
I find English a little bit weird.
No, it is. It is pretty weird.
I think it's piezo.
Okay.
Because if it's especially if it's an Italian word, it'll be piezo. Definitely not piezo.
No.
And definitely not pizio. So it'll be piezo.
Pizzo.
Pizzo. Well, maybe it could be pizza. Well, anyway, the acoustic pickup, yes.
Oh, yeah, so...
Now that I've offended people that speak English, sorry.
I think it won't matter that much on the compressor because once you get your compressor settings you like as a tone print, then...
But I wonder if you can do it. That's just be interesting to know. We'll try it out.
Okay.
When you get it, we'll try it out. See if it works.
We'll try it on one of my other TC
pedals. No. Just on that one. Okay. Okay, so the hypergravity, what else? Big Muff.
Oh, nothing good but fuzz on acoustics.
Fuzz for acoustic wedding duo gigs.
Oh, yeah. Corporate gigs. Corporate gigs, aren't they? I'm definitely looking at some sort of delay reverb type combo or separate things.
Well, we were talking the Keeley stuff, weren't we?
Yeah, the delay workstation.
Workstation.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks like it's got some cool options as far as different types of delay, all that kind of thing. Maybe if you can check on our jump on our Facebook page, and if you guys do use effects on acoustic guitars, show us what you've been using. So might give us some inspiration.
You know how I've been talking about doing this podcast since last year.
Yeah.
You know, this could... You may already have an acoustic board by the time this goes.
Well, I could add to it.
So let us know. Keeley stuff looks... The new Keeley stuff looks great.
Mm. Yeah, it's fun. And what else? I don't think I'd want too much on an acoustic board. Maybe a modulation, a tremolo, or a chorus thing.
No, you need lots. No, but I'm the same. I'm not big on effects on acoustic.
Just like... A little bit of modulation goes a long way, especially when you're playing with two acoustic guitars.
To
separate the sound.
Separate the sound, yeah.
You know, if you both decide to play chords for some reason, you know, it's just a wall of strumming. So if you got some sort of...
If you both decide to play chords for some reason.
You know, might play an arpeggio rather than a chord. Okay. Yeah. Or a single line.
You actually put effort into that stuff. I don't. I just usually... I can't be bothered.
Start swinging.
I just sit there and just play the same thing the other person plays, you know.
So, yeah. I don't mind chorus on acoustic guitar, actually. And I was kind of thinking maybe that... is it the Walrus Audio new one? The vibrato chorus?
Oh, yeah. The what is it called? The...
Not the Janus. That's the...
It's always some weird names, isn't it, with Walrus? Yeah.
Sandra or Tracy or something.
Sandra, Tracy. Hang on, what is it called?
Well, quickly, we'll get off our phones.
Walrus.
I'll race you.
Audio, yeah, so you can do it faster. Chorus. You're younger than me, so you probably...
Oh, it's Julia.
Julia, oh, you just beat me to it.
I was close with Sandra.
He's younger than me, so, you know, he's quicker. Us oldies, you know.
Yeah, so I was thinking that could be fun.
The Julia.
The Julia. And it looks cool.
Yeah.
Which is the main thing.
Yeah. Be nice. I'd be very interested in trying out some Walrus Audio stuff. It's been...
I'm still hanging further on... I think it's the joystick one. With the
Janus. Yeah.
Yeah. That looks dumb and silly, but awesome.
There's a couple of drives that...
Mm.
The stuff I've heard is great.
And the delay, I want to try that big analog.
The Bellwether, is that what it's called?
Yeah.
The drives sound really good. There's the one with the... Like a satellite thingy on it. What's that one? The...
Oh, yeah. Another one. Yeah.
I'm
on eBay now, so I'll look it up.
There's like the Messner, I know. There's the
Iron Horse, which is a full distortion.
Oh, I can see it. It's like got a Messner. Is it like Deep Six or Deep? No.
No, that's the compressor.
That's a compressor. Yeah. The
Mayflower.
Is it a Mayflower?
No. Voyager.
Voyager. Yeah, of course. The Voyager. Yeah. The stuff I've heard always it sounds great.
Didn't someone shoot that out with a Klon? I think it might have been.
Is it the same guy who did the? Was it a sandwich with a
clone? Is it a carrot?
Oh, carrot. That's how the carrot with a clone. Oh, good stuff.
I think it was that young dude on on the YouTube. Anyway, I'll find it later.
Yeah, so I'd like to try out some more of this stuff.
Mm,
actually, they started following me on Instagram.
Yeah, cool.
And commenting
nice on
some of the stuff. So, you know, you never know.
You never know.
Cool. Anything else that you're lusting for?
Ooh.
And keep, you know, keep it PG.
PG. Well, I'm asking for a. I think I'd like a really nice reverb from an electric rig.
Ah, well, Supernatural.
Yeah, cool.
Give it a try. It's.
Does it do?
But then it's not probably your kind of reverb. It's more my kind of reverb.
So.
It's more like quirky, like.
Does it do normal stuff as well?
I don't usually try the normal stuff. I don't believe in normal stuff.
The moment I've got the Hall of Fame, which is cool.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's sort of a staple reverb now. I found it was really the Supernatural, really kind of fat and warm, if that's the right sound to use for reverb.
Yeah,
but it was just really
no makes sense.
Had a lot of body to it. It wasn't like a thin kind of,
because some cheaper ones get brittly and like
it was really warm sound, and really big sound, and I really liked it.
Yeah, cool.
I was really impressed with it, actually. I was And the build quality was really good too. The knobs are, it's like quite heavy knobs and I was pleasantly surprised. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I'll have to look into that.
So that's cool.
Fun.
So, do I have to talk about what I'm lusting about now?
Yeah. Is there anything left?
Is there anything left? At the moment, chocolate.
Yeah. I think we've got some.
No. Well, we're doing this thing. There's this thing called dry... This has nothing to do with music. There's this thing called Dry July. I don't know. It's something they do in Australia where you're not meant to drink.
But see how good an alcoholic you are.
Yes. So, you, like, for a month, you're meant to not drink alcohol. I don't usually drink at all anyway. Like my wife and I both, neither of us really drink.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been doing that for the last couple of years. We've been doing sugar-free July. And trying to see last year
soft drink we just had.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's a different story, but
it's probably more sugar in the soft drink than chocolate.
Yeah, I know, but that's a different story. No, but you know what I mean. Not going out of a way to add sugar to things.
Gotcha.
So last year, or possibly the year before that, I used to always put two sugars in my coffee.
Yep.
I went from two sugars and one sugar.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and this is, not normal, good coffee. You don't put any sugar in it anyway, but instant and stuff at home, you know, when you're just quickly in the morning because you can't turn the coffee machine on because the kids are asleep and you don't want to wake them up because you're going, yay, the kids are asleep, that sort of stuff. So we just make instant. I used to put two sugars in it. Then either last year or the year before, it went down to one. Now it's down to none.
Oh, cool.
So we're doing this dry July thing anyway. So I haven't had any chocolate or anything really, you know, the odd soft drink with that just came with the meal, so I just had it, but you know, so I'm lusting anyway, long story.
Cool.
Yeah. But gear wise what I just bought not long ago, I bought an Expandora.
Yeah, cool.
The Expandora 2, which we're going to do a demo of very soon too, and I really dig that thing, so I ended up buying an Expandora 1.
Mm.
Or not one, but the original Expandora, which is on its way from Long Beach in California at the moment. I'd be kind of interested to hear the kilt now, the JHS kilt.
Oh, yeah, that's based off that, hey?
That's based on that. So that's something, I wouldn't call it lusting, but I'd be very interested in trying one because I really, really like the Expandora. I really dig it. So the kilts, that's one thing. I'm kind of itching to make another guitar.
Yeah, yeah, cool.
Like a parts guitar.
Because we've both done this recently, last year or two.
Yeah.
Done some builds with, I've done some with Warmoth parts. And what was the other company?
Mine was a Paler. So if check out Paler guitars, they're really, really cool looking, relic guitars. And I looked on eBay one day to see if there was any Paler, and I saw a red Jazzmaster shape body that was apparently made by Paler guitars, but the seller had, I don't know, like really, really good feedback, like, I don't know, 8,000 or something feedback, 100% positive. So I kind of went, oh, you know, that's sort of a reputable seller from New Orleans.
Okay.
And I looked up, all the other stuff was all clothing that they were selling. Anyway, I ended up getting it for very, very little money because I was the starting bid.
Gotcha.
I was the only one to bid on it. And I think it was less than $100.
Oh, wow.
I think it was, even including shipping, it was only around about $100. It was like $40 or something, the body I bought for it. It was something ridiculous like that.
Yeah, wow, okay. Anyway, so.
And then I got it and it was a... it's a swamp ash body.
Nice.
I bought it. And I emailed Paler Guitars and I said, well, I think I may have just bought a Paler guitar body on eBay off someone.
Mm.
I'd love to kind of make it, turn it back into a Paler guitar. Any chance I could buy a neck of you guys? And the guy replied to me very quickly, actually. I think it's John Paler. I think that's his name. Or whatever his name is. Replied to me very quickly and just said, yeah, I know you bought the body because you bought the body off me.
All right.
Because they sometimes put surplus stuff on eBay.
Yep.
Rarely, though, because there hasn't been anything really since. Because sometimes they do colors and because they do custom stuff, the customers don't quite like it, or
sure,
the relicking isn't quite up to standards for the customer, or it's not what the customer wanted, or it may not have, or they may have experimented with different ways. Anyway, so he said, yeah, so you're buying it off me, but sorry, we're not selling parts. That's the only place we sell parts, so you're going to have to get a neck from somewhere else. So anyway, so the body came. It's a great looking body. It's a really nice piece of timber. Really well relicked. hand-painted and reliced.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And if anyone's been watching that video, so that's the
The Red Jazzmaster that I always play, basically. Videos, that's one of them. And then I got, because I thought, you know, to go with the relic theme, I went, I ordered through the MJT, is it Mark Jennings? Mark Jennings? Is that what his name is? Anyway, MJT, yeah. They do like relicking. I ordered a neck through them that's relicked as well, cool. Which came from, is it USCG or USACG? Like either US Custom Guitars or USA Custom Guitars. Sure. A neck, which I ended up really, really liking. I gave them, I thought, well, because when you order a custom neck, you give them, they want all the specs, like all the width and everything, and, yeah, you know, all the like measurements and everything. And I basically gave them, as good as I could, the exact measurements of my J-Masker Squire.
Yep.
Because I love that neck. That's one of my favorite necks. I don't know why some people buy the J-Masker Squire and then put a different neck on it. That's the best part of the guitar, in my opinion, isn't it? Anyway, so I wanted a neck basically like that. And it ended up being quite different. I don't know how.
Okay.
But I actually really like it. It's a bit fatter. The J-Masker's is a bit skinnier maybe and wider, whereas that one's a bit more rounder. Okay. And I really like the neck, actually. And then I just put all parts in it and made it up. And I really, really like it. It's
yeah, cool.
It's become sort of my number one guitar.
It's so much fun. You kind of have to know what you want when you're doing parts.
That's it, yeah.
Parts
guitars. Unless you buy something flukishly and then...
Yeah.
Secondhand or on eBay.
Or you end up with a wrong neck that feels really good.
That's so, it.
I've built a couple of Warmoth guitars. I think I'm kind of hanging for a Warmoth bass next.
Ah, you play bass a bit too.
I do. So I'm thinking P bass might be the next.
Ah.
So I've got a jazz bass and I've got like a six string with all that active electronics and all that dumb stuff.
Awesomeness, yes.
Yeah. So that's kind of the modern thing. But I'm kind of hanging. Someone asked me the other day who my favourite bass players were. I never really thought about it. But I think I came up with Pino Palladino and Duck Dunn, who was playing in the Blues Brothers band. Both P bass players. Yeah. Not that I can play like them, but they're my favourite.
Cool. Well, that's all right. That's it. So P bass. Well, I'm thinking I want to do a... I want to do too many things. That's a problem. Yeah. I just saw, which I think I tagged you on that on Instagram, telly with Jazzmaster Bridge on it and Jazzmaster Trem on it.
Yep.
Because I love the Jazzmaster Trem.
It's like the custom with the humbuckers.
The deluxe one, yeah. The deluxe telly, the old deluxe telly with the two wide range pickups and that big scratch plate.
Mm.
And it had a Jazzmaster Trem on it. Yeah, and I love the Jazzmaster Trem.
That's pretty cool.
Especially the Mastery Bridge version of it. It's great. It's so much... It's really, really good. So that kind of could be an idea. But I've had kind of a longing for that. I like the Starcaster shape.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of like a mix between a Jazzmaster and like a 335.
Yeah, for sure.
In a wild sort of wonderful way. It's actually one for many years. First time I've ever saw Starcaster was Radiohead. The dude, Johnny Greenwood at Radiohead, plays it every once in a while. And I went, oh, that's a cool guitar. And then I got into Jazzmasters not long after that. And then I went, wouldn't it be cool to have one of the Starcasters with a Jazzmaster Trem on it? Because I really like the Trem. Yep. And then jump forward like a decade, built guitars. BILT, is it? Or BUILT?
I know the ones you mean, yeah.
Whatever they are. Built guitars. Started making a model, which is basically kind of like a slightly bastardized version of a Starcaster with all kind of like sort of Jaguar kind of hardware on it.
Ah, right.
Which I really like the look of. So
yeah.
I'm thinking, but they're way too expensive for when you have wife and kids. That's way too expensive.
been told that's way too expensive.
So I'm thinking, yeah, like, you know, like a Warmoth or MJT or something like that, body in then of a Starcaster shape, and then see if I can get someone to router a Jazzmaster Trem thing in it. Warmoth, if it even works, being hollow.
Might do it for you.
If it even works, being hollow. I don't know how hollow they are.
Yeah, I don't know if they're fully hollow. I think they might just be
center block.
Center block, yeah. Yeah, talk to Walmart. They might even do it for you.
Because then that'd be kind of cool. And then have I'd put a Jazzmaster pickup in the neck.
Oh, yeah.
Probably I'd try wide range in the bridge.
Yeah.
And maybe even do something stupid like put like a Jaguar pickup in between.
Or you could put it like back towards the bridge a bit to get some twang if you want.
Well, that's what I mean. Yeah, yeah. Put it right next to the bridge.
Ah,
wide range. And get another really fat neck. I used to never like them.
Mm.
And I used to play guitar for many, 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 many moons. I used to play guitar by a company called Patrick Eggle.
Yeah.
Handmade English guitar. And it has the tiniest neck you've ever seen on a guitar on it. And I used to really like it. And I'm quite big. I'm, you know, 6'5". And I've got fairly big hands. So, you know, it was kind of weird now in hindsight that I played this guitar with a tiny little neck. But I'm starting to really like the beefier necks. So.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, I've been perving on the Starcaster things from Warmoth as well.
Yeah. So that's...
Try and get that 335-esque thing happening.
Yeah.
Like... Yeah.
Just for something different.
Mm.
And, oh, but what I've really... One thing I've been really kind of keen on getting, but that's way out of my price range because that's custom-made guitars. Like, yeah. Kind of like those built guitars. But there's a guitar maker in Germany called Daiml Guitars.
Oh.
D-E-I-M-E-L.
Oh, I think it's okay, no, Daiml. Okay, don't
know. Yeah, I would have sent you some links and I've posted some stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Which is... They do one... I think it's called the... And that's my phone. He can call back later. They do one. What is it called? Firestar? I think it's called a Firestar. Yes. Sorry, I should really turn my phone to silent. And it's a mixture between... It's like a cross between a Jazzmaster and Firebird. That's
what. Yeah, cool. Okay.
And I think it looks great. They're the best looking guitars. And he does... total custom everything, like whatever you want he'll put in it for nice. You and he even does that. He does this thing where quite a lot of people that buy guitars off him put a pickup, because it's got the same as the Jazzmaster. It's got lots of strings behind a bridge, so from the because it most of them have a Jazzmaster bridge and trem.
Yep.
So there's that long you know, which I like playing behind to make weird noises. And some people actually put pickups there too.
Oh, really?
And okay. Then he has a thing called Leslie, a thing that he did. Oh, yeah. I think it's Leslie as in L-E-S-L-E-E maybe.
Yeah.
And it's a thing where it's in the guitar, it's like a trem, but it's like a thing where it goes between pickups. So it automatically switches back and forth between pickups and you can set the speed. And then I guess depending on how you set
phasing thing,
the two pickups. So you can, well, you can have one volume off and it kind of, you know what I mean? So it's like
choppy.
Like choppy. But then you can also have maybe a tone down on one pickup and then it kind of does like more like that harmonic trend.
That's cool.
And it's built into the guitar.
That's right.
He's got a few demos out. And I think the guitars look great and some of the stuff he does is really, really good. So that's a guitar kind of.
And the... Is it the D'Angelo stuff from New York? Is that the
company? D'Angelico.
D'Angelico, sorry, yeah. Yeah, that'll look cool because I think they're making some stuff out of Asia, maybe.
I think is most of it now made out of Asia?
Probably.
Or maybe just the high-end stuff, I don't know.
Because the price points come down is like $1,800 Australians.
Yeah, they're quite cheap and they look really cool.
They look badass, yeah. So that's on the list.
One of our favourite YouTubers... German friend Henning. HP42, is it?
Yes.
H.
With an E.
Phonetic spelling, yeah. Phonetic German phonetic spelling of how you would pronounce H and P. he's done a review on a lot of them and they look really cool, don't they?
I saw the singer from Hiatus Coyote playing up to you.
Ah, excellent, okay.
Yeah, she's playing.
She played Ibanez's most of the time, didn't she? Like,
could have done.
To all the stuff I've seen of her has been like Ibanez kind of 335 style.
Yeah, anyway. It's a similar style with the one she had.
Yeah. Very cool.
Yeah. Nice one, man.
Well, we could go on for hours, but everyone's probably asleep by now. So Should we call it a day?
I think so. All right. Time for another coffee. So.
Well, let us know. Yeah. Let us know if we bored you to tears, or
if you made it this far.
If you made it this far, and make sure to check out our YouTube channel. Is it just Super Fun, Awesome Happy Time Pedal Show?
I believe so.
So I think it's just youtube.com/C, I think. / Super Fun, Awesome Happy Time Pedal Show, all in one. But there'll be links probably here somewhere too. The demos we've done for Mululaba Music now as well, which is at Mululaba Music Center. We'll put links to that as well. Please subscribe to the podcast. I'm not quite sure where I've got to put it all, but lots of people keep talking about Podbean and Stitcher and these things, so I might see if I can put it on there, and iTunes, I suppose. So
if you're listening to this,
iTunes, and it may have worked. Yes, so let us know what you think. Make sure to go to our Facebook page too and like that. You can check us out on Instagram too, either me, which is Tall Guy with Glasses, or what are you?
I'm just Alex Rottier.
Alex Rottier. We'll put links up to that as well. You can check that out. And let us know what you think. So we're going to do tons of, I don't know tons, but hopefully a few of these podcasts where we just talk about what we've done in the last month and or week or fortnight or however often we do these things. That's, and then we're going to talk to musos and look at what gear they use, and we've got a few more people lined up, and there's a couple that we've already done that may be online already, so check them out. So thanks for listening, and
cheers.
If we have a theme song, it may be coming up now.
Oh yeah, we need to record a theme song.
That's
what we're doing this afternoon.
Okay, thanks guys.
See ya.
Over and out. Bye.